I think it's important for us to start our meeting because it's a very long day today for members. I'm afraid I'm glad to say a compliment to all of you. Mackenzie, you guide me. You 240. Yeah, you're more than right. You tell me you're right. We are ready now to retire. Ready to retire.
Ready with money.
You won't get money without anything. I'll pass a lot to switch off your pension. thank you very much, colleagues, and let us start with our meeting. We know that the room there is more, but I think colleagues will try to squeeze themselves wherever it's possible. And, we do have an agenda, a very long agenda. A very long agenda. But we'll try our level best not to have a long, long meeting. Not a very fruitful meeting, but very short. We don't want to get a long meeting that is long-winded. We want just a very short meeting that will assist us to understand the challenges that we are facing. And of course, we hope Babuka, but not our fan, able to win in any time. They will win. They try the other best. They try the other best. Of course, Nigeria is a very super team. Sometimes you think that Nigeria is just a simple team. It's a very stupid team. They try the other best, but last year we didn't win. I think what we should do, because the department is on its way, I think what we do, we should start with the eminent persons group. I'm aware that Dr. Figueroa, we are here. It won't be harmful from the color if we start with the eminent persons group. I think Dr. Figueroa will comment also on who won. And then because it must be an analyst, not on political issues, only on the court, the social aspect of life, and tell us exactly what is happening in your family. Kola, what do you want us to do?
Thank you, Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wish to take this opportunity to congratulate the Chairperson on his election as President of SANCOR. It is a running about this community produces. It first produced an MEC in the name of Compel. Now it produced a president. So don't let the video going on Compel and we pass the anything. Might be president of Addington. Thank you, sir.
Won't be harmful if he becomes the president of the elders. Thank you very much, colleagues. And there's one apology that I saw here. It's from the Yeshiva. And then Honorable Musi. And for the afternoon, I apologize of Kumbe Golomisa. It's a long standing apology. I think we have accepted all these apologies. And we will then allow our colleagues to be briefed by the eminent persons who we know that we are set up to assist us to speed up the process of transformation and so on. And the process that's ready. It would be a good idea then to invite Dr. Soma Figue to take us through and for us have a discussion on that issue. And then we go to other colleagues who are here. I think the department is still on its way. And then we can be allowing our time ready to have a discussion with some of this stuff. Welcome to Dr. Figueroa. Let me invite you to take the mic and then assist us to understand some of the issues that you are facing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
of the portfolio committee, and my greetings to the honorable members of the committee, as well as colleagues in attendance this morning. I would like to first express our deep sense of gratitude for being given an opportunity to share our experience, progress, hurdles along the way since we were appointed as members of the Eminent Persons Group for Sports Transformation. I always dread the word eminent. I don't mind the rest of the name in the committee. But even before starting, I would like to thank you for being so much patient over a long time, because we ought to have given feedback some time back. But we explained that the age of transformation in South Africa has been with us since 1994. It's the asset of the society. But the key thing we wanted to do was to make sure that we settle down and we set our systems properly, such that the bodies that came before us trying to transform and not having the desired impact, we won't repeat that for the sake of doing it. It took some time for us to settle, because the first thing we had to clear roles between ourselves, the department, SASCO. Just a quick recollection. The National Sports and Recreation Endeavor, which was convened in 2011, the one that spelled out key things in transformation of sports, and it also indicated that there was a need for a special purpose vehicle which gave expression to the Eminent Persons Group for Sports Transformation. That's how we were established. The same Indaba approved the key indicators or principles for sports transformation, and even alluded to the scorecard issues. Then the minister, emerging from that meeting, appointed the Eminent Persons Group the following year. This group consists of a wide range of expertise, people from different backgrounds. Myself as the chairperson, one little thing, I was an amateur boxer for 7 years. I went on to manage a university club. So I do have a sports, in my system, because I'm sure it's the political analysis that tend to stand out. And I'm also a policy analyst in a sense, so that's what I was told I was being drawn in for. Riyali Dwaba is my deputy chairperson. We do have Mrs. Nompandelo Magwenchu, who was the COO for the World Cup Olympics local organizing committee. Professor Tolela Manu, Dr. Willy Basson, Mr. Michael Moss, Dr. Samram Sami, Louis von Zonel, Prof. Marion Flynn, yes, Mr. Wimpy Duplessis, Mr. Kondisa Nguyenya, Prof. Tim Lopes. So those are, some of the members of the Eminent Persons Group, drawn from the academia in sports psychology, drawn from the practitioners who are already involved. Of course, Uba Unganun is also the member. Veterans from sports, as you can see. The key activities of the EPG since our establishment, of course, we had an inaugural meeting after we were appointed, where we had to talk about how we're going to work the institutional arrangement. And this was followed by a workshop where we did exactly that and developed some framework for the work that we're going to do. the clarification of our mandate was very important, because in the appointment process it looked like we're going to do everything in the sphere of transformation and everything else. The whole clarification with SASCO, as I also indicated. But most important, what we also effected and developed was a code of conduct for the EPG members, precisely because some of the members are still very active in sports or have some links. We had to make sure that that does not dilute our engagement with the different codes. Therefore, we had to develop an ethical code of conduct that will govern the way we do things, especially because transformation and assessments and sanctions that come after that are of such sensitive nature that we should always be beyond reproach. One of the things we emerged with from that meeting was that the department needed to give some administrative support, because if you look at people who are in this group, they are full-time employees elsewhere, they are eminent persons like Dr. Ramsamy and so forth. You wouldn't expect them to sit in some corner and do the administrative work. Indeed, the department has been quite responsive, though at some stage we experienced problems, because when they wanted to appoint an admin support, they challenged from within the department and the unions to say, you can't, this is not in the establishment and so forth. So it took quite a bit. And the indication was that you could only appoint a person for a period of 12 months or less. Then we said, for some of these, if you wanted a good person, such a short period wouldn't do. So that seemed to take longer. They had loaned us somebody from the department who was already doing something else. So that was just a little bit of a drawback for the period. We've been meeting with the department, and we collected all the previous reports that we could lay our hands on in terms of the previous transformation report. Very quickly, we also met with SASCO, because this is a very important stakeholder. In the final analysis, we must get concurrence, cooperation from them if we want any data, if we want to give any advice to the department. Ultimately, this important forum had to concur. And they, in that workshop, agreed on a whole range of commitments that we needed. And the terms of cooperation were agreed on. There is a report that will be coming, a more detailed one, because a pilot study has just been, completed, and the eminent persons group will apply itself and then give recommendations to the department. We are meeting on Friday, the whole day. And once we've done that, we will write all the recommendations to the department to make a follow-up, and some will be very specific to the different codes. The initial pilot has targeted football, which is soccer, athletics, rugby, netball, and cricket. The one thing that we are doing for this transformation is to look at all different dimensions, because in the past, the obsession has always been with the quota of the team play, instead of looking at the whole value chain and also the developmental side of it. For example, the issue of governance. We realize that if you have a crisis of governance, it's almost impossible that you could actually transform. It's impossible that you could have integrity in any data that we provide. Procurement, for example, is another dimension that we hardly ever look at. But in the final analysis, though we have not finalized those recommendations, we will appeal to this body, to this committee, to our parliament, that no matter what we do, if our schools and our tertiary institutions do not have sports that is revised or revived, then the feeder to our teams is not there. We may be scrambling for a few people, but if we do not have communities, schools, our universities, and that is the kind of discussion that between the Department of Sports and Recreation and the respective departments of basic education and higher education training should have. Because even the time when we went to schooling, the issue of physical training was quite strong, and now you have a young adult who is obese, and this solves many other health problems as well. So the school sports to us is one of the key things that we should be looking at. Some of the challenges, I've already alluded to the slow process of getting the administrative support, but just a preliminary observation is that whilst we were doing the work and whatever is coming out now, it will suggest that in other codes, the systems are so poor that you want to ask and know how many teams, how many women, how many people with disability, the access to facilities, they have no clue. If we were auditors in that sense, we'd be saying for some it's a disclaimer because we have no data to start with. Now that in itself I think will be the very first step where we start, because we can't have a meaningful dialogue with the codes if we do not know where to start in terms of proper data collection, proper management systems, because the mining of that data is almost impossible. Even to tell how far transformation has taken place and how it has not moved depends entirely on a reliable data with integrity. So we may even have to contemplate a workshop with different entities so that the just basic bookkeeping is in place. Then we were saying that even as you say you are transforming the sports, it has two dimensions to it. The representativity, taking into account our historical, legacy issues, but at the same time, excellence, because sports is about winning. It doesn't matter which dimension you look at. So access to facilities and ability to keep our nation at a level where we will become a sports powerhouse. It's possible. This country has such a great potential. And of course, the sooner we have the admin support, the better, because the heavy schedule of some of our members of EPG, such that without a proper support system, they're in London to train, they're in Brazil tomorrow and so forth, you need somebody who will keep reminding that we'll be meeting, we have this, we have that, at any given time. The issue of role definition between the department and ourselves at SASCO, I think now I'm happy to report that it was a challenge initially, but now that matter is being resolved to the best of our satisfaction. And in the final analysis, we'll give recommendations to the minister, and we'll give a detailed report to this, portfolio committee, and we'll always appreciate your input, your guidance in your oversight role, and we will do the best in order to make sure that transformation begins to have serious meaning in sports. And transformation in this case is not just the number of people in the field, it's also in your management in the government system, access to facilities, and it's a whole range of issues that we have to take into account. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Doctor, for the presentation. Colleagues, anyone want to make some comments? Comrade Lee, Comrade Cora, Comrade McKendall.
Dr. Sabini, thank you very much for your presentation. Now, listening to you, I've really listened to a man who could really assist us in more than only what your mandate was. Because listening to you, you know, I was listening to a man who understands what it will take to take our country forward. It's not, and as you said, it's not about numbers on a field only. In South Africa, we need a sports plan. A plan for to see on the field exactly what we want to see on the field. You mentioned excellence. That is the cornerstone of if we want to see people on that field, it must be about excellence. It must be excellent people. Otherwise, as you said, it's not just about winning, being the best. Losers and people, some people were called losers over the weekend again. Do you understand? And that is not what we want to cheer for them. We want to be winners on that field. But we need a plan to be their chairperson. And I don't think we have the plan. But listen to you, sir. I believe you just, perhaps this group chairperson should be given another mandate. The mandate is to work out a plan for sport in South Africa. To get us exactly, you are sort of identifying the problem. We want you also to tell us, listen, we are the solution. This is what you must do to get where we want to be. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr. Kigen. You know, the issue which you've raised, they are so fundamental. You talk about access to facilities. In my constituency, the Bongolesu Senior Secondary School, I am the Athletic Society. There is a stadium in the township, but the municipality says they were going to town. And that is a no-fee private school. Where are you going to get the money to get the kids there? And we must also pay for that facility there. You see, those are the challenges which we are really facing in our constituencies. You talk about data, doctor. You know, we're in France. In France, they can tell you that player was injured, and he is there and there, and this is the doctor who was dealing with him and all those things. We don't have that data yet. And you keep on asking for data. It's a problem. So I think that these things will help us. The issue of the representative when I talk, it's a big issue. Both in management and on the field. And the other problem was that in management, people forget their mandates when they're there. They forgot that they've been set on a special reason. I was on radio Sunday and I was saying that our children are given only one opportunity. Then he fails and he's out completely. I can make an example. Uthole Kile and David Villiers were together to India. Uthole Kile was elected to be a wicketkeeper, not a batsman. Both of them failed, but when they came back, this one continued and one looked like a hot potato. So that is the problem. And if you talk about experience, Doc, experience to get it on the field of play, not by sitting there to be made a ladder as well. So these are the issues which you have to tackle really. You come to the issue of Bafana Bafana. Do we have under 17s competing? Do we have under 90s competing? I mean, Nigeria is that one. The other 17 will come against Mexico. Because they are imported from a younger age. You can't expect the Panthers to play at the end of 28 years. It's almost all money. So those are the kind of things which you have to look at.
Well,
thanks, Chair, and thanks, Dr. Fakir. What I found interesting today was the fact that you didn't look at the face of what's on the field. But I think you've identified the key issue is what is behind the field. You spoke about facilities, you spoke about resources, you spoke about management systems, etc., etc. And I think at long last, if we can start focusing on the real problem, instead of the end product, but get into the heart and the soul of the issue that's bedeviling our soul, that's what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on something, and if you, as the EPG, can influence our sports administrators and government elsewhere with these findings, I think it's absolutely crucial. We have laws and plans in place regarding sport in general. But you've just alluded to the fact that most of the codes outside of the five you've identified here, which you're going to do a study on, have absolutely no systems at all. So how can they actually participate effectively in sport, let alone competitively here, but internationally as well? That's impossible. So I think we're going to get to the heart of the issue. Now, my colleague spoke about representativity, and I agree that that is a very big issue. But I don't think it will become an issue once we get these fundamental underlying problems sorted out. And I'm pleased someone's talking about it, not talking about ideology, talking about what the real issues are facing us. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Captain, I'll put it to the issues. I'll talk to that.
Chairperson, it has been down the coast. Nepal also one of the coasts.
Totally. I know that you want to be a network coach. Many other people. because there are well-organized cabinets there. But these ones, I don't understand why the land is really just pass across and Dr. Even in press, a former press area on the TV. Okay, Dr. You can comment, Dr. I will allow you to. But I thought that you come back, you will have a still positive balance. We should have a great discussion about the transformation of sport. I think we have been talking about this since 1992. I think it's almost now 22 years. It just doesn't work. Even soccer, we always say that it's transforming, but every month they're going down. Then I think, you know, Bonyane was coming, I come somewhere. What they are doing there. Doctor, check them. Yes, you want to make the phone.
Thank you, Chairperson. I haven't listened to the presentation that Chairperson were EPG. I am confident that something is coming. When you touched on the school sports as one of the priorities which they would look into, then in my mind, as the discussion flows, then the question of coaching comes in my mind to say, in their plan, as we all of us are aware that there should be a plan. So what is the thinking of the EDG on the coaching? Because I am looking at a plan, especially somebody touched on the, you know, remarks of the, you know, the bunch of leaders and whatever. And then in my mind also came this, you know, coaching as a challenge to me. Although I cannot say much, but I look at it and say, what is their thinking of the coaching? Because we've had many coaches that would actually maybe take our banner through by changing them. And also I was looking also at other soccer teams, South African soccer teams, where there is a change of coaches and the like. And I just felt maybe, because they had a workshop, what was their thinking? What was their intake on the coaching aspect? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Doctor, you can comment. Of course, we are mindful that we are doing the working for that.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for the positive overtures that are coming. I think I wanted to start by saying, as I've said in the EPG meeting, something like transformation needs honesty, courage, and transparency. And it needs people who cannot be corrupted, because in sports, a lot of money changes hands. Therefore, in EPG, the ethical dimension to me is very important. You can't do that if you have to bend the rules. Along the way, you meet people or colleagues and you feel weak in your knees because you are about to release something negative, objectively reflecting how they are doing. I do think that even as we talk of a sports plan, we must begin to imagine creatively how other sports houses like Australia, China, Cuba and so forth, some with limited resources, have done it. And our preliminary observation is that if you want to develop sports, transform sports, it has to be comprehensive, wall to wall, so to speak, in a sense, from community schools up to your professionals. Because you'll see that other countries which are sports powerhouses, they identify a young child that this one will be good in gymnastics and physique and everything. And they take them through a process. By the time they reach 14 years, they are ready and ripe. With us, we wait people finish matric. And when they are ready for retirement, that's when we are identifying them to start. But now what has been most painful general observation is that in the municipalities, every other municipality has put a stadium in some place and they abandon those stadiums. They start collapsing. I'm sure there was a time when it was compulsory to have a stadium and a cultural village, a stadium and a cultural village. And most of those, if you visit them, either they have fallen or they remain unused. Therefore, in the final analysis, you'll have to have a system where national government, provincial government and local government work in a synchronized manner. Because once you start having national having its program, provincial having its program, local having its program, district municipality doing something different from local municipality, they do not know what they are doing, then it's a very inefficient system even where you have resources. Across departments, you'll find that the sports and recreation department, basic education department, higher education are core to these issues of sports. But if one doesn't speak to the other and they have an integrated plan, surely you'll find that this work won't go far, because you need to massify the pool of people who later on will produce champions of tomorrow. But again, the cooperation between the government, the private sector and the civil society is key. So it's a total comprehensive approach that I believe is very important. And I'm happy that the point that we've been raising, that let's not look at the end product, let's look at the input and the process. Then your end product invariably will always look good, because you do have a very nice supply to that process. We've been asking questions and we're trying now to analyze in a more systematic manner what are the bottlenecks and what have been the causes of resistance to transformation. In that way, it will be easier to pinpoint and to tell what is there that prevents transformation and even be able to anticipate that. Even the report and the assessments of the different codes were saying it should be an annual barometer, such that you can check this year you are doing well in governance, this year it seems to be dropping a little bit. This year you are doing well in terms of excellence, winning and so forth. This year in representativity and so forth. So the tool itself should be so detailed that it can check instances where you do have such problems. Of course, accountability and transparency is key. On the coaching part, as my last point, it was so painful when I sat down with the late Baby Jake Matlala to talk about the mentorship. Because he was saying that in sports, people retire early, sometimes in boxing by 30 years, you are a has-been. And he says that people who are fighting like Tep McCartin in the 70s are still alive and they could be providing mentorship. And he says, I can tell you how cheap we are in terms of many people who are now in the streets. They no longer do anything, and this will do a lot just to say, can you look after these schools? Can you look after the at a very nominal stipend? So those are some of the things that we should be looking at, because the coaching, not just at the professional level, but the mentorship and coaching at the very basic level. So I do think that in some of our recommendations, those are some of the things that will be coming out strong. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Fidel. Well, we are looking forward. Of course, we are mindful that if we started at the beginning of our chair, it was going to be very nice. Now would be good to use the come at the end of our term. The term is ending and good news will be coming. Therefore, it will be difficult to make full out for them. But of course, I think society as a whole is interested in sports. Sport, of course, is a big industry.
the very beginners. I think we will take care of it. We're looking forward, Dr. to read it to you. Once your report is finalized, just keep us informed what are the development, what are the issues, what are the pointers that could assist us to transform for. We'll take the point that you are raising of courage, and I think McKenzie has been raising this thing of courage and input, and then raising the issue of honesty and transparency. I think those are principles that we'll clearly look at them. And then hopefully you will come before the election. And that should be our last meeting before we are dissolved, just to have a discussion about some of the issues there, because wherever we are, anyway, we are still going to be communities out there. Your report will be very useful for us as we interact in communities and leading communities to develop sport. And there's no reason why the South African have winning teams. There's absolutely no reason at all, and I think we should work it out. Call us, one day we are happy, Bafana has won, the next day we are depressed. I know that we are admitted in hospital because we are depressed by the jury. And then I think we'll work our colleagues on this matter. Thank you, Doctor. We are very busy. And one day we'll invite you to give us local analysis or sport. I think one person wrote a very good article for sport, I think you understand. And I think it was a very formidable article on sport. And hopefully members will write it and will understand what the issue that was raised in there that I also raised by Dr. Fikin. Thank you very much, Dr. We will meet and around March maybe. If you are not dissolved by then, I think we'll just meet the second meeting. But I think we'll need to have a discussion on the question of sport. Because now there's a national sport plan. And then this team has worked out there. In fact, that's an example of a real problem in sport was Athletic South Africa. That one man. One man. He's not a mayor, he's not a premier, just one man. Hold him advance for many months and years. Just one man, really. He couldn't do anything. Completely paralyzed. Do anything, they can't resolve this, they can't take over, they can't do. Maybe one day we should consider the French system, though, that government must not be a spectator on sport. Government must intervene and take decision. If we think that people are messing up, we must dissolve them as government. We shouldn't get as the spectators, we give money, it becomes a spectator, they mess everything up and we are just looking at them. They come before the committee, they tell us many stories. Some of them that are saying, hey, that's dreaming. But they come and tell us all these things, get encouraged and then they mess. I think we should consider that serious. I know that sporting federation, they don't want government sometimes to interfere. But I just guess that France is doing very well. It's doing well, of course. I think even Nigeria is better now in terms of organizing sport. I think we should really consider that very soon. We have allowed this person to really delay the whole process of transformation. And then it's a bad situation. But I think we'll meet and have a discussion on some of these issues. Mackenzie, I thought about it. He's making it now. And then the president of the Schwarz. I think we are outvoted now. You're still a president. Yeah. Okay, I'll talk to him again, but it's how you you know exactly what is happening there. But thank you, colleagues, very much, and as we proceed in different issues. Doctor, you can remain there with us, and if you have some time, and of course, if also you also have urgent matters to attend to, we will allow you also space to come. And I want us to proceed, colleagues, and I know that the Director General is here now. Director General, you can come and take us through. I know that you are not a long-winded Director General.
you know how to summarize things correctly and capture the real issues. Because you know that this committee don't want a long-winded discussion. Because otherwise, sex gets easy in someone. Of course, we're told you that we're delayed and now we are here. I think it would be proper for us to welcome you, Director General, and allow you time to, if you still need to relax a bit, we can take another team to move on. If you are ready now to give us. I thought that we are busy for the whole weekend, so we've got a lot of stamina. We have that up here, I think we will take then the geographical information system team. And then all the issues will set. And then Montez at the end will almost conclude our meeting with Network South Africa. Because we are doing well. We are doing well. We are winning. And Director General was telling us the weekend, or the weekend, that's the number three now in the world. We hope that anyway you remain there forever. Not just zip back and forth, one day we have, one day we have.
The best thing is people in the top five,
actually.
Yeah. They're talking to us.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope that it's not as far away from you.
No.
Okay, no, you're very encouraged with that.
It's been there for a long time, so it's not as far
away. It's not just by last.
No,
oh, that's wonderful. Director General, there is something that we can talk about, of course. Because we've been blessed by the fun of our fun and never seen doing well.
Yeah.
I don't have to sleep in hospital every day.
Hey, this is a better
one. He went to the stadium and then our fun and lost the game and then he got sick and taken to hospital. I'm not sure what was the expectation.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the Chair and honorable members of the committee. My apologies, I want to restrict. I slept here today, Chair. Last night I slept here. But, yes, I stay in Musenberg and I used the M3 to come this way. And I found that there was an accident this morning. It took me 2 hours to get through from 8 o'clock. I was already on the road to get through here. I made a short video.
Wow.
I didn't want to be in the community. So we will deliver the second quarter report and just give the highlights on the report. And if the chair agrees to save the committee time, I'll also deal with the issue of the GIS quickly in terms of the progress where we are and the National Facilities Plan. And then I would also touch on the Netball Premier League. And then I think that after we can look at the SAIDS findings by the agency of the Action Plan. But in short, the second quarter report is requested by the committee. Easier, but we have a third quarter report already ready. But we will take the committee through the second quarter report as what has been requested. But the committee willing to also inform them the targets for the third quarter and where we are. But of importance is that we are confident that we are starting this year because this is the first APP which we are implementing aligned fully with the Sport and Recreation Plan. And this year we have the opinion that at the end of March we would have achieved almost 92% of our target. This, the committee will remember that last year we only managed to achieve 54% of the target set. And it would be a giant leap from where we were. And as we had earlier committed that we will achieve the bulk of the targets we had set ourselves to achieve. We had also realistically at the end of the third quarter in our evaluation recognized that there are a few targets that even by March we would not meet, and There are specific reasons for that, and I will just highlight on those specific points. In the overall, this far, by the end of the second quarter, we had achieved 30 of the Plan 42 targets in this regard, and this translated then at the end of the second quarter to 71% of the achievement in that quarter. But you see that now this has jumped in the third quarter to about 89%. So we are on track to achieving the revised target of 92% we're looking at as of now. And you also see that of the 30 targets we have achieved, we have 8 of them were exceeded, and there were 11 targets that we did not achieve as such. If you look at the program one administration, you would be aware that this was supposed to do a number of ministerial outreach programs. In a year, we target 9, and we had by the second quarter done 3 of this. You would also be aware that we will exceed this target by far by the end of March. We are now having a ministerial outreach program once a week, and they include the handover of multi-purpose sport courts as well as outdoor community gyms to the communities we are going to. 19 of these gyms are already ready to be handed over, so we will be handing them over every week up until end of March, and we will proceed even in the next financial year of the handover program. But we will certainly, on that basis, exceed the target of 9. In the Chief Financial Officer's office, we have achieved all the targets we have there, so I will not go into detail on that, as well as an internal audit. We have done almost all the internal audits that we have to do, and as the Chair may now be aware, we have extended the audit mandate of our internal audit to also become an internal audit function for Brooks in South Africa. And the first two audits there have been done, and they have been a big eye-opener for us. And even the Auditor General has started placing reliance on the work that we do internal audit there. In terms of office accommodation, we have met the target that was set there. You recall that in the last management letter of the Auditor General, this was raised as an issue that we do not pay the rentals and everything on time. And there has always been a problem with public works billing us and so on. So we have now taken a proactive step. We have agreed with the Auditor General that we must use the contract as a sort of document than the invoices. So we are paying in advance even before the invoices come. So that way we have been able to achieve the target of 30 days. The strategic executive support, again here, all the reports that we're supposed to do, institutional performance report, we are on track. We are producing all the reports that are required in terms of the ANE, which is an annual estimate of additional expenditure reports. And we're also submitting a departmental inputs on the program of action, particularly in respect of our Control V, which our minister has signatory to with the president. And we are also submitting the quarterly documents that are required by law. And to this extent, we have done all that we need to do. The most important piece of work in this area we had achieved in this quarter was the finalization of the framework for discussion by the member countries of the special working group on international working group on sport for peace and development. As you know, South Africa has been elected chair of this UN committee, and it was our role and responsibility to produce this report, which is in that using sport as a platform and as a catalyst for prevention of gender-based violence. So we, from the current feedback we have received since the distribution of the report, it looks like that this year in Geneva in 2014, this report will be approved and will be accepted, and this will become the framework for the framework for implementation. Again, in terms of the program section, as you know, we have in this regard continued to play a role. Art and culture has been a lead department in our Control V, but we are now moving to outcome voting with effect from April this year. And the Treasury and the Presidency had requested our department to consider being the chair of the new outcome voting B. Their cry was that they were of the opinion that Arts and Culture wasn't doing much to coordinate the outcome, and they felt that the role we had been playing, we could perhaps do this. We were flattered by the offer, but we have to respect fully deadline because this will mean we'll have to create a new unit in our department and with our own resources to manage and to coordinate this outcome. It will have added huge responsibilities that are really not related to us, and yet the budget for all national days and everything is with urban culture. So it just didn't make sense for us, and we were flattered. We said that no, urban culture must do what it has to do. But we are continuously participating in this, and actually we continue to play a leading role anyway, even in the absence of urban culture, because most meetings we do chair, although they are coordinated by urban culture. In terms of the National Planning Commission, we had finished what we had to do in this regard. As you know, Chapter 15 of the National Development Plan now covers and incorporates the bulk of the work we have done on the National Sport Integration Plan. As you know, we are on track in terms of the work that we are doing. We have finished almost the draft APT for this coming year and the Medium Term Strategic Framework. These documents are ready, we can share them with you. We are only required to submit them by February this year, but we are already ready, we have finished them. We know what we're going to do in the next financial year. And we are now finalizing the new budget structure aligned to the sports plan. In terms of our other work as a current department to the two entities, you are aware that we have finalized the 2012-13 annual reports, both BSA and SAIT, and we'll be tabling them in Parliament very soon. In corporate services, Chair, we have continued to work on the sport integration promotion campaigns. We have adopted a new campaign with us and culture called Unite. This campaign, one of its elements has been the Nelson Mandela Sports and Culture Day. As I had put the committee in the previous meeting, our intention this year is to expand this to include netball and cricket. And we are planning a super weekend, and if things go well and according to plan, we will have netball, football, rugby, and cricket. And netball and cricket will share the stage on Sunday, the Wanderers, and football and rugby will share the stage on the Saturday prior to this. So this is what we are looking at. We also did our part as the sports movement, both with FASOC and federations, for the 67 minutes of volunteerism at the arena. In terms of what we have not managed to achieve, Chair, the issue of the training of our employees has been quite a difficult one. But finally now, the CAPSIT has given us money, and we have commenced the training last week. So in the fourth quarter, I think it will reflect some movement in respect of this. But it has been quite a challenge for us to redirect resources to train our own staff in this regard. But now that is happening. The other thing, which has been quite a difficult thing, was the issue of filling vacancies. We had an agreement in the local bargaining council, meaning the departmental bargaining council with the members of our union, NEHAUG, and the PSA. And the agreement was the effect that prior to adverts being advertised externally, we'll have to advertise them internally first. So, and we were in a perpetual cycle of recruitment because we advertise and some staff on level 9 apply for a level 10 post and they get it. But then it creates a new vacancy at level 9. And then we advertise level 9 post and those who are 7 apply and then they get that. And we're in permanent mode of recruitment. And this has taken a toll even on the management from. And we have to sift all through the applications and every other thing all the time. So we have to go back to the union and table that the thing is not working. We have to advertise externally. And the staff will apply together with external people, and if they are the best candidates, they will get their job. It was not a smooth sailing thing. The unions wanted to fight, but we insisted otherwise we would not finish off that. But we always had a serious vacancy rate in the department, but now that has been accepted, and we have now in December advertised externally, and the closing date of the 8th, we are now busy capturing everything. We will do the interviews through February, and by March we will fill the vacancies. So in the fourth quarter, that too will show some movement in this regard. The other things we have not really achieved in this regard, was the issue of the satisfaction survey. We conducted one last year. We're supposed to do one this year, but we have now deferred both the two surveys, both internal and external, to the fourth quarter. I believe that the questionnaires now have been finalized, and we will be doing the external and internal surveys concurrently in the fourth quarter. By the end of the fourth quarter, this will show that they have been done. And the other thing was the issue of office relocation. We had reached capacity, full capacity, where we are, and chances are that we have to grow, and that's for sure. But we could not find suitable offices ready for what we need. And the other thing is that we didn't want to move from where we are because of the huge disruption, the inconvenience of having to move only to go to a place for a year or temporarily for a year or two. That doesn't make sense administratively. It's costly, and it's such a nightmare to relocate offices because it disrupts the operations fairly. If you recover quickly, it will be 2 months, you know. So we then felt that we needed to wait because our plan in terms of the sports plan is like the so-called sports house, where we will house all the federations and the body and so on. So best thing is to breathe it when we are terrible and the conditions are there. We may have to breathe it for about 5 years or so, and we convince treasury, and when the first consolidated grant comes, we build the original fourth hub. At the hub, we also have the extension of the offices and every other thing. Then we can host federations and everybody and build the sports fields and all the rest. And then we have to build as what we have planned, and that we can do within the next 5 years as a department. In scientific support, we have largely exceeded the number of targets we have set for ourselves, and as you know, our percentage of compliance with international anti-doping regulations, we have achieved that quite well, and there's also been a number of reports signed off. And as you know, the consolidated reports on national federation transformation progress has been received, referred to the EPG, and some work has happened in that respect. Let me move to sport support services, and I will only highlight the issues we have not managed to achieve there. One of the issues is the number of sports and recreation bodies receiving financial support was not reached. We had encouraged, this was the first year we were to fund the recreation bodies, things like the Mountain Club and things like that, South African recreation volunteer movement and so on. All of that we encouraged them and gave them the forms and said, please apply, there is some money allocated to you this year. Our target was to fund 10. And of the 10, only 3 managed to meet the requirements and comply. We found that with the recreation bodies, they are really loose entities, and accountability levels are quite suspect. So we couldn't transfer, and we couldn't meet the target. And this is one of the targets we did not meet even by March. And we can only hope that the work we are doing with them now, Federation Support is doing with them, to capacitate them to be able to reach the levels where they can access the money. Will work, and that in the next financial year perhaps we can meet the revised target. But as is, we have now for the first time funded 3 recreation bodies who met our requirement. The other issue was the number of federations supported with training, and this was not reached. We had taken this escalation is very high, and we still could not reach the training requirements. We have prioritized 16 federations for training, starting with the Big 5. And of the Big 5 football, rugby, cricket, only rugby and cricket managed to meet the targets. The rest couldn't. And so this still we will not reach despite the availability of money. I think we had a huge challenge with the response of the federation. On the issue of specific services delivered by SASCOC, we have decided, Chair, that from April next year with the new say, framework, all indicators that have to do with SASCOC, we are going to have to take them off our APP. And the reason for that is that we are really not in charge of the indicator. It's SASCOC decides that it changes costs. We really have little recourse over them to say this way, not that way. You know. And as a consequence, on us, it appears in our legal documents that we are committed to achieving a specific target. And meanwhile, we are fully dependent on another entity to do this work. So that we will shift the requirements into the business plan that we signed with Sascom. The transfer payment agreement will now have to detail everything that we require from them. And for the first time in the discussion, the one that we just signed now with Sascom indicates clearly we are even giving them targets for the medals they must get. We shouldn't hear from Sascom that they are going to get 12 medals. It's our government who must say to Sascom, with the money we're giving you, you have to deliver so many medals for us. And I think the lines of accountability will now have to be streamlined in this regard. But we will remove this type of indicators because they are not of assistance for us for the purpose of accountability to the government and the committee and parliament. The other thing is that the knowledge management system, we have started work around this, but clearly it is not yet functional, and by the end of the financial year it will still not be functional. But work has been started and we are developing now a system to manage all the knowledge we now possess as a department. In community mass participation, this area that I would be aware, we made it a priority. Program 3 became a huge priority, and the bulk of our money is now being spent in this area. And we had exceeded the targets for volunteers registered in the National Sport Volunteer Corps program. We now have a lot of people registered there, and we are only going to intensify the campaign for marketing this year around this thing in 2014, the new financial year. We also achieved the number of participants in sport promotion projects, and this target for the first time we exceeded it. You know, in the past it always used to be a huge challenge reaching this target. And the planned focus group status reports were all signed off, and we received all of them. And there is greater compliance now from provinces on the mass participation grants in this regard. The issue is simple. We simply don't transfer money unless the province gives us all the reports we require. And when they do not have money for the lorries, they run around and get the reports. That means that we only give them the money they ask. So that has increased their compliance to almost 100%. From the time in 2011, it was 23% compliance. So now we are always at 100%. And even by the end of the financial year, we will be at 100% compliance in terms of it. What we have not managed to achieve in the mass participation program grant have been gun targets in school sports. I think the rest of the targets in school sports we have met. The only target we didn't meet was the one of the supports of training to educators. We are supposed to train educators as coaches, and we have targeted the five major sports federations for start. We have set a very ambitious target of about 40,000 educators. And I think right now we have only managed to train about 1,800 or so. So we will again continuously train them even this year. The answer that we'll reach 40,000 will be very misleading. Even with the best intentions, the CAPSITA threw all the money it had on this and encouraged the training providers to come forward. And we still did not succeed with the target. So perhaps the target was never very realistic. I think we should realistically aim to about 20,000 a year. But the demand right now is that we should be training about 100,000 coaches every year. So the money available and the capacity available in the country to do this are two essentials which will not help us. So even if you ask football people, they'll tell you that they need to be training 15,000 coaches a year. Alone, just football. And even if you ask the number of people, they'll tell them that they need to train a lot of teachers as coaches as well. But the money, even though we are available, can train about 25,000. The capacity we have of the training providers and the notion of hours they must finish, only can reach about 18,000. So we should revise our target to about 20. You know what the demand is, but realistically what we can achieve is 20,000 a year. The facilities, here, Chair, we have achieved all of the targets in this area. The national facilities that have been report generated, we have achieved all four of them. We are actually ahead of our time. And also, the state has reported regarding the maintenance and usage of the stadium built for the World Cup. This we have done. And we also, for the first time, met for a planning session with all managers of the stadiums before the World Cup, including the Loftus, which is a private entity, and we managed to agree, and of of our evaluation, I can tell the committee today that the only stadium viable of all the World Cup stadia is Moses Mabhida Stadium. It's self-sufficient and it generates its own income. The rest of them are an albatross on the municipalities and the provincial governments, and they are a huge cash drain to those municipalities. And our assessment indicates that it is because only Moses Mabhida has a stadium precinct around it, which is profitable. They have restaurants, and they have a mall underneath, they have a people's park, yeah, they have a retail park underneath the stadium, and so people shop there and do everything, and makes money, and the shops that are there pay rent to Moses Mabhida Stadium. Some of the restaurants are actually owned by stadium management themselves, and so that generates sufficient income to be able to subsidize the operations of the stadium. As the rest of them, they are all in trouble. With Polokwane, the Pietermaritzburg Stadium and Mbombela Stadium being the huge cash drainers. They don't attract many events and they are unable to sustain themselves. So that means that the city and the province monthly have to fork out in the region of about 40,000 rand and the province about 100,000. Most 150,000 cash drains are not to subsidize the operations of the stadium. So now, the solution lies in creating the precincts around the stadium. If you know, the FMD stadium was supposed to be built in phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3. And phase 3 would have taken over the whole Sherwell area and do a water theme and a football theme park across, joined by a side bridge and everything with a 3-star hotel in phase 2 in the adjacent of the stadium, and combining its marketing with Nazareth and making it a huge stadium casino. That has never happened. When the cost escalations began to rise because of the collusion of the construction companies, that simply fell flat. Government had to agree to restrict only to building the stadium and not the precinct. And right now, the appetite within government to build the precinct is very low. No one wants in an economic concern to be building social infrastructure. The drive now of government is to build economic infrastructure. But we think that when we go get the consolidated MIH grant, the 15% together, just below 2 billion a year, we have to prioritize the stadiums, and at least in a cycle of 5 years, we have to spend some money, about 500 million in the cycle of 5 years, to build the precincts around the stadiums. Otherwise, they will perpetually become white elephants and they will never leave the country as they are supposed to. So we have to take that bold decision come April 2015, and we'll have to evaluate which we should start with. But clearly we will start with the National Stadium, FNB, because that is the property of government, of the national government. The rest of them belong to municipalities and to provinces. So that one is ours. So we'll start, charity begins at home. So we'll start there first and then go elsewhere. They can, if they are so confident it is theirs, they must take us to court. We bought the stadium for $1 for them. But behind that $1 is untold misery of millions we have to cover their bonds, SMB and everything. So we own that stadium. It would be misleading to say that it belongs to them. So the rest, Chair, I'm going to cover quickly the 10 strategic significant risks and the action plans we have taken. As you know, when we started, that thing, all of it used to be red. All of it. We passed red. By 2011, when we came here, we presented this, all of it was red. There were no greens, there were no yellows. There was no progress moving. But the most important risk for us right now remains the one on the failure to adhere or implement the school sport MOU leading to school sport not being delivered as a school sport delivery plan. This issue, because school sport is such a big priority for us, remains a huge risk. But now we are mitigated. You can see it has moved to yellow because we are in the process of implementation. There are two challenges there, but have made progress. The risk that remains sticky and that remains red and are still a bit problematic is the one of the failure to implement the transformation charter scorecard. But you would now see with the publication of the barometer in February, that will move to yellow. And as it becomes consistent and culture that we expand and we ourselves, the federations, it will ultimately turn to when we start implementing the charter. But yes, that has remained a sticky area. And the failure to achieve the set targets, meaning the targets we have in terms of development of high-performance athletes that are well rehearsed, that too is a challenge. But we'll see now, it will turn yellow because first court has now signed the agreement. We must set targets, and we must say to them, so much money we give it to you, you must produce so many medals. So much money is given to you for so many high-performance athletes and so on. So we are now linking funding with outcomes, and that now will turn yellow. It will only turn green when those athletes are winning their medals. You know, so I think it will show some significant movement. The other one is the failure to implement the National Sport and Recreation Plan. This one there will have to move now because we have finalized the first year review of the implementation of the sports plan. And when we finish this year by March 31st, and we have achieved like 92% of all targets set in the implementation of the ATP, which is fully aligned with the sports plan, it will then move to yellow as well. And when we start seeing the impact of such implementation, it will turn green. So we are hoping it will turn green by year 3. But at least between now and next financial year, it must remain yellow, which is what we are targeting. The last major risk that we are looking at, and which is sticky, is the issue of fraud and corruption risk. This is with everything we have done. I mean, we are one of the few departments that like people who are found guilty of this, or when we charge them, from the time we charge them to this, the last case we dealt with, in 2 weeks' time, we had already been arrested. So we were very quick. So on this, even if you have harsh measures and you have the anti-corruption policy and you have all of this, it remains a sticky challenge until your systems are fully tight. And I think now, when the next review is done by the fourth quarter, that internal audit will agree with us that we have moved significantly in addressing fraud and corruption. The one key thing was that the Fraud and Corruption Committee was not meeting. Now it does. And it assesses the environmental risks, it assesses our control environment. And added to this is that we have been having an effective audit committee for some time. And now the risk management committee, which is the manager, we have now escalated this. It used to be about 5 people. We have now placed it in the job description of each and every senior manager. All directors are now risk owners, and so they take responsibility for it. And in each and every management committee meeting now, the risk thing is a standing manager. So these two, within the first quarter, move to Yale because of those considerations. But for it to turn green, is a challenge. I think we must say, because with corruption, you never know that it's happening until it is covered. You know. So for it to have a foolproof, because green means it's foolproof, you know that it can happen, but you have no way of knowing that it is or it's not happening. You can only put in place your measures to test whether it has worked. Chair, allow me to quickly brief you on the GIS system and where we are. The committee is aware, come and reported on this matter consistently. And I had indicated that we would utilize when we had a partnership in science and technology. They were willing to put 50% of their money and we put in 50% of our own. And ultimately, after we did the scoping exercise and everything, the proposal that came from CFIR, the Center for Scientific and Industrial Research, came at 18 million rand for the development cost. For a small department like ours, that's too much. We then consulted with a number of departments, presidency, treasury, education, police, and so on, who already have GIS systems, and we wanted to know who are their partners and who are they working with, and so on. Almost all of them work with one company called Ezre. All of them, their system has been designed by this Ezre thing, but they already have functional systems. One, it is cheaper, it's about 900,000 to have the system developed for you. The catch is in the licensing fees. There are license fees each year. And typically for ICT systems of this nature, I mean, if you look at transfer to buy the original package, it's a bit costly, but then the license fees annually are like 5% the value of the system, which makes it affordable. With this people, because I think they are not good. You buy the system and the license fees are about 45% of the value of the system. You know, cheap, but they know in the long run they're going to get you. So it's now the balancing thing. Perhaps it's better to have your own system developed by CSIR, copyrighted and owned by government, which is very costly. If our application to Treasury to give us a federal grant to apply it is not approved, we may have to switch to federal, because in the medium to long term, it's affordable for now. It's what we can afford. And so I think that is the route we'll be going. But we're finished the scoping exercise. We're now finished the national facilities framework or the plan itself. And we have finalized the norms and standards. And even the grading and classification framework has been finalized. So that is why we say in this area we have achieved almost all our targets set. The only thing remaining is the design of the city and its rollout. And that is dependent on these two things I've just handed. But yes, we are ready, and we are seeing the weaknesses with what police have as an example. So for instance, the one with police, you can go down and check in an area where is the police station, what is his address, who is the station commissioner, how many sergeants it has, how many lieutenants it has, how many what, and so on, and what is the size of the force, and how many cars are at the police station, and so on. But the data that is useful that we cannot get on that. So with us, we have now expanded this. We are doing a parallel with the Eastern Cape. They are procuring the things on a short license basis to see whether everything we want to see with the facility can be generated there. So I think we will bring the committee on how the pilot has gone and what the feedback of the Ferrari has been in respect of the GIS. Let me now cover a short report on the NPS. We are on track now to have the NPM launch, and I think I can say with a degree of confidence than I have been before that we will get it going. Our original target was December 2015, and we had met with NetBot. When we started, we were a bit rusty, and NetBot did what it has to do. They were very quick in responding to everything we required them to do. Only thing that was a challenge for us was on the methodology of the implementation. Since then, we hired a consultant who worked with us, both as a NetBot South Africa. We had a workshop, and we finally agreed that to make a leak effect as a start-off. Originally, we wanted a full-blown leak of long serving, each team in each area, around robin, all over, and so on. This would have cost us about 52 million to get going, money that we didn't have, and equally the investment of people in a new program that didn't have a prototype would have been suspect. Since then, we have revised the league from 12 teams to 10, 10 teams now, 5 in each conference, South and North conferences. We have now agreed that all games will play at the Hasselt Arena in Pretoria. That reduces the cost because teams are not obligated to travel all over the country and everywhere, because that takes a lot of resources. But they are in one area, they all play there, and we have a short season, congested matches, and at least to the end of the 5-week period, we have a final winner, and we have a season complete. With it, we have proven that we have a working concept, and it can work. That has mitigated our cost significantly, and the partnership with SuperSport has already been signed. There are negotiations between NetBot South Africa now with SADC to subsequent agreements that will generate more income for it. And we are confident that in a space of 2 weeks, we will announce the titles for to the league. Yesterday, we had a meeting with the potential sponsor, and it went very well. Unofficially, I have feedback that it is okay, but officially, we are still waiting for the say. But certainly, the league will start in April. All the ingredients and everything are ready. We already have some supply sponsors, Sohasan, the owners of Afghanistan, are on board. to provide appropriate accommodation, neither is there for the clinical sponsor and so on. So we are now set for the leading team of Inebra, and we can lay the shares of the committee that we have overcome the major hurdles that we and Netball now are issued in terms of what needs to be done.
You may raise that I issue that then we'll invite them. Double tapping. I know that you want to go to your first conference at once. They just find out nothing about it. I'm trying to announce something that is more than the word. colleagues, any question that colleagues want to come here, please.
Thank you, Representative DJ. I think you would rather be intimidating me.
Sorry,
good? Is intimidating me.
Everybody is not on the list.
Thank you very much. SDG, thanks for your presentation. You have indicated that you have just analyzed your structure that is linked to your national sports and recreation plan. But I don't want to check because the chairperson of EPG just indicated that they still have a challenge with regard to the administrative staff within their institution. Hence, most of the people who are facing the structure are not full time. So I just want to check the support that you're giving at the department. And the other issue is the issue of legislation. I was thinking that you're going to present the tourism recreation, for the Recreation Act and the Boxing Act. So the presentation is just quite with regards to those legislations, because I think there were two key issues, legislations that were before your department. And in terms of mass participation, you know, I just want to check with regards to your structure. You still have the City of Shala program, because it has been assisting our communities a lot. It has been providing a rising support in terms of in our different communities. So I just want to check, because I don't see these coordinators in our communities as speaking. Thank you very much. Thank you. So my question is based on the not achieved goal, the one on filling of vacancies, where there is the internal advertisement and also the external. I could not follow it closely on the manner in which the DG presented to say we need to first advertise internally.
I think in retrospect, management made a mistake by agreeing to that. Because quickly, as soon as we started implementing that, we realized we are never going to finish. Because we have been recruiting since July last year. We have advertised internally, and it's often you find that there are three candidates, and they are vying for the same post. And the interview panel interview, this one is like, he has not started yet. He had applied also for another post that had another one that had. So you interview the same people. It's the Adama. I'm dying here. If I can't be here, I'm going to try to make that. So, and when they succeed, if I move now, I'm now full-time in the department. Let's say the vacancy rate is 8. I'm now on level 7. I have a plus 4 level 8 post.
and I get it. Yes, we are still at vacancy rate, but the vacancy rate remains the same. Because once I move to level 8, my level 7 could become vacant. So it remains the same. They just keep on rising. For employees, they are recognized. The union has announced it as a leak because they were having a ring of fire, you know, protected. They were not competing with anybody from outside who could potentially challenge them. To the extent that even in some positions, there was collusion, like in smaller units, for instance, they would know, they would say, two put, don't apply. You apply for that one and I apply for this one. No competition, so to say, you know, and then I guarantee. So there were such things, and we had to go back to the DCC to say, look, well, we appreciate what they're sending and that it benefits you. But for us, as the management, it isn't working well. We are in perpetual recruitment mode, and our managers have to sit in so many interviews, often with the same party, you know. And even where, yes, you appoint a person on level 11 today or level 12, and then we have a kind of externally got a level 6 and director post. Some of those level 12 people have done, they apply. You know, so we learn that we cannot allow this situation. Let us advertise all vacancies externally, and everybody who wants to apply, whether internal or external, must all apply for this. So only we reached the agreement end November, and by December we have advertised all the vacancies, level 12 downloads, all of them that were there. And so the closing date was the 8th of February. We were now working with the capturing, because with external advert, unlike three people applied for one post, we're getting often as much as 6,000 applications. And we have to record by law each and every single one of them, even before we come to the team. So the capturing of the data and the summary of the submissions, everything for a small department that I was with an HR unit, also a few people, is a tall order. We have now even had to recruit people from other units to go help HR to capture everything so we can, in February, fill the vacancy. So it's better if we fill vacancies there on the unions on here. But it's better if we fill vacancies with external people, because you close the vacancy gap than if you take internal people, because you simply open your vacancy. You know. So I think this is what I was trying to explain, but that's why we couldn't achieve. But our target is to make sure that by March, when the financial year ends, we have recruited and filled all the vacancies we have.
Just three quick questions. On the mass participation school sports, on the training of the educators, I indicated that the 40,000 was a bit of a reach. Do these educators come forward voluntarily? Were they encouraged by the Department of Education to come forward? What talk to them? I want to hear about that. That's the first thing. The second thing is on netball, and you touched on it briefly. What I'm concerned about, and I don't think you touched on this, you spoke about solutions, but when we spoke some time ago and the minister made a very big splash about netball and New Zealand, so it raised a lot of expectations. And in fact, Netball South Africa came here to get the date last year and September, and I guess there's been a lot of frustration because of raised expectations. I think there were, if not promises, certainly it was possibly indicated that funding would become available, etc., etc. And there was also a question of franchise and non-franchise. There are a whole series of issues that I think were being debated at the time. I'd just like a little bit more detailed report, frankly, because I think even if we're starting now in Pretoria with the league in one venue, it does have already grow the game as a national sport. I mean, I hear about the costs, but I'm talking about the national thing. And the last question, just on boxing, and again, you touched on it, but you know, Floyd Mayweather has been here. And I'd like to just know three things. Firstly, how many clinics did he really put on? Number two, how many fundraisers did he have? Because the only one I read about was he raised about $800,000. And thirdly, and more pertinently, is didn't the department or any government department have to pay for that trip or his visit here? And if they had to, how much was it and it was, and who was it approved by? Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I do think that's the net follow on because they are here. We'll allow them also to play first general and then be around with and cover some of the points. Really,
for that, did you report to Kwara?
Yes, I have reported to him.
He's behaving.
He's quite happy. He's impressed at first. He's accepted. He's Chairperson, no, you're lost. You said if the DJ is still around. I personally want the DJ around when Nedwell presents. You understand? And that is my first thing. Because you know there are things to be that we must settle and solve, Chairperson. And it's no use having one around and the other is not here. You understand? So I personally would love to see him around, and I think he's a gentleman and he will be around. Now, then I all know that the DG spoke about fist fighting and knuckle fighting and popo and the Northwest. Now, you see, I understand the politics a little bit better now after you explain what is happening there in Chiapas, the DG explained. So now I understand the politics of EMEA and CL are better. What's happening in Kwame and on a more serious having listened to the presentation there about the new world chambers, I was very glad that we are sort of feeling washing South Africa in a sense, chambers. At that time was the prime mover of such an exercise. But my question then is, you know, I know this will be discussed when we discuss the bill. I think it is so unfair for us. You see that their deposits that is around, they must all pay for the administration of their own sporting coach. They must pay for that administration. They must have a CEO, they must do this, they must pay for a chairperson. I think it's so unfair now, you are robbing all the other coaches, you're granting, and I've seen those people, they are rich people, boxing people are rich people, chairperson, they are, and then they can administer their own sport, chairperson. That's what I'm trying to say. And that, therefore, you must really look at this. You can't pay for Karate's administration, for boxing, all these things, while the other people must find their own and pay for their own administrators, chairperson. Because that is what it boils down to. You must pay for the administration. You are paying for the administration of boxes, I'm not the chairperson. That's what you're doing. And I think it's okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman.
Umi Deli today is very with a new candidate. So
thank you, sir. Honorable Mackenzie, the educators, some of them come forward voluntarily. As you may have seen, some educators had a large check in November last year of all the people who had registered on our national volunteer database, 23% were educators who come voluntarily, which is encouraging. But however, we request the federation to bring the educators, particularly most federations in school sport which we work with have like a school sport arm. And those school sport federations like FASFA, in the case of football,
or netball schools in the case of netball and so on, all of them sit on our national steering committee that looks at the schools of as a whole. Their responsibilities among them, and the reason why we are funding them, is to bring educators forward, is to nominate the educators from the schools and get them so they can receive the training. So I think it's a mixture of both those who come forward and say, I'm interested in an opportunity, I can be trained as a coach, or those that are encouraged by the federations to say, come forward. Does Department of Education play any role? This far, no. I think I have to be frank and honest in as far as I'm concerned. We'll talk about education someday. In respect of netball, I think the netball people are here. We made a promise in 2011, two fronts. Our first promise was that we will fund the Diamond Church for that year as part of our contribution to Women's Month, which we did. We kept the promise. The second promise was that we said Netball South Africa must conceptualize the Premier League, and that we together with Kings Netball, we will find money for that league. And the reason for this, why we didn't, in the case of the Premier League, commit to the Premier League. There are many other Premier Leagues. We have just done one now with basketball. We didn't pay for that league. We worked with them to raise money for that league and to get it going. Our mandate is on development, not on the leagues. If we were to pay for the leagues, we also have to pay for the PSS. We also have to pay for the Americas. We'll have to pay for all the leagues. And so as a policy stance, we do not pay for high performance for the leagues. We pay for development, and that is why our investment is so heavy on school sports and on club development on a mature level. And this is where our work remains. So consequently, Chair, the indication from us was that we were ready from the goal to support Netball South Africa, and it is for this reason that we also hired a consultant to work out the mechanics of the league. Were there different viewpoints when we started? Yes, certainly. We were of the opinion that we should sell franchises. We were of the opinion that the teams should be privately owned, and the private investor must invest money in all of this. And this has been a major source of unhappiness on the part of Netball. Netball insisted that we must look at football as an example, where the private owners own the teams, and where the private owners, like now as it has been, refuse to release players for national duty. And whereas you have a robust league and London, then you have invested money in that league, and then you can't have players for national duty. Which up to now, because Netball is an amateur sport, and nobody really owns the teams. The players belong to Netball South Africa. They have never had a problem of getting the best players to play for themselves, to do duty initially. And as a consequence, you can see how well those players perform. So we were persuaded that as and when we start, and we set ourselves a window period of 3 years, that as and when we start, all the teams will be owned by Netball South Africa. And all the teams who play the league will belong to Nagokaba. So this situation will be 3 years from now, depending on the uptake and the results that come in from the spring and what we have. If it works, we make it as a permanent feature. But if it doesn't really work well and we're stuck with resources, we may have to resort to semi-private arrangements where Nagokaba South Africa perhaps sells like 50% of the shares and it owns 70% of the shares in any team. The league itself, there is no dispute that it has to be owned by Netball South Africa. A part we have consensus around, and so on. And the other part around franchising, we will review 3 years from now. But when we start, Netball was scared that we are going to have an abrupt disruption of the program of action, and rather we maintain the teams of cities. And on our part, it was a compromise that let's not sell the franchise. In basketball, on the contrast, when we started, we sold franchises. Very quick, franchises in the inner cities were bought like there's no tomorrow. Six of them were taken. But no one has bought franchises in the small towns. The Northwest booksellers in Slagsdorp No one has even made an inquiry. Nobody bothers about this. And so it had to be agreed that those franchises that are not bought must be concessions, meaning that we find a team of owners or potential owners, and the ownership rests with Basketball South Africa. And the teams are putting the transfer of ownership is put in abeyance, awaiting for this people for a significant amount of money. And in return, they provide their management and every other thing on a risk basis to manage the teams with a view of future decision. And when the league makes money, instead of the profits being accrued to the teams, that profits are forfeited to the league in exchange for shares. So that share buying scheme, we have to put it in place for the smaller regions. Otherwise, Northern Cape, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Lubani, and the Free State would not have the teams in the basketball Premier League. So that's what we have done. But it's not well because we're taking a holistic different approach. The advantage with basketball is that the millions these people paid to buy the teams were an immediate cash injection into the league, you know, and the league could start and spring up and work easily and very nicely. So with netball, we have had to play greater reliance on private sector sponsorship because the teams, no one is going to bring money to buy the teams. And there will be no cash injection from that part. So we'll have to rely on broadcast sponsorship funds, as well as funds from title sponsors and media sponsors, as well as satellite sponsors. So those is what will affect our strategy on. So, and we are now a bit more confident that we find the title sponsor, which will bring a huge cash injection for a good sponsor. The challenge with that type of arrangement is that you are going to likely find a one-year agreement and people apply or ask a wait and see. And so if you make a map of the league this year, they are not there next year. Nobody will ever come back. So I think that is the sense. And so we understand, we understand the importance of the league to work and to succeed. On the issue of paying for the administration of boxing by an other sport like karate by remunerating this, I don't think that it is a fair, accurate reflection of what is the case. It was, we are paying for the administration of all sports. Either we give it to the federations directly, like Netball South Africa receives funding from us, they have money guaranteed for them to spend on administration. We are paying for the administration. Otherwise, many federations, without what we give them, they will close up tomorrow. But they just don't have sponsors. They are totally reliant on our income. And even when they submit the annual reports, you see that 100% of the funding came from us. So we are paying for all administration. Only difference with boxing and the combat sports is that if somebody dies in the ring, somebody dies there, we will not be sued, and the lawsuit will be by far more than what we give in South Africa either. And we cannot afford to be complacent about that issue, and that is why the sports all over the world are regulated differently from the rest of the sports. And it isn't just about us. You can go to the Nevada Boxing Commission in the U.S. You can go anywhere you want to go, you will see that they are regulated on boxing and the regulated sports. So in our country, it isn't about boxing. The debate around is boxing too risky and too combative than rugby. Those debates we have had. But we are moving from a premise that says combat sports, where the intention is to hit another person. So when that is the case, that we want to regulate how you hit that, the degree at which you must hit him, what happens when he's bleeding, and all of it. All this we don't regulate. The other bodies, like FIFA, regulate that if you have an injury or you're bleeding, the referee must take you out. And you must go find treatment. And if the doctor on the side of the beach can't see you or feel your wound, the fight must stop, you know, all of that. But if it's international title fight, the WPC, for instance, will apply the same rules. It will say, this match has got to be stopped because this person is bleeding and he's given 2 minutes for him to see the injury. If it can't, it's technical knockout. In South Africa, somebody who had the health and who had the rights to lose that as a title might regulate that. And that is in existence now, both in South Africa.
So in the same as the championship in Taekwondo or whatever. So, so whether the intention is to hit another person or to be combative, I think that instance we want to regulate this for them to protect the interests of the state and also to protect the athletes and the citizens who play in this sport. And I think that is the key issue, and that is why we believe that simply having a regulatory body without regulatory, that is like that the laws are developed and enforced, that is quite good commerce sport being by bringing also an inspectorate to inspect the facility. And it must have the power to withdraw the license to a facility or to whatever, or to a trainer or to whatever, if they don't comply. On the issue of boxing revival and Floyd Mayweather's visit, look, perhaps I need on two elements to take the COVID into consideration. And I think for that purpose, I requested the chair indulges me that the media excuse us, because they are contractual issues we are assigned to in respect of this, that we will issue details if they come out in the open.
Well, it is media. I'm not at the outside.
Oh,
okay.
So we have elaborated an academy there at that thing. So when we called that thing, even the clerk reads as such that it is an academy here. So the job of having to rename that, yes, we have already tabled the motion before the seat of Johannesburg. So they ultimately would want a thing to be named after Baby Jake. They will have to do, their council will have to do its work and do its consultation with the public, with the people at that team, it will have all of this and so on, until the council can pass that resolution. That we don't foresee in the next 9 months or so. But of immediate, the program has run. The academy is named after Baby Jake, and it is based there. I think there was that misunderstanding. So we have not renamed the gym at all.
Maybe we should consider renaming it. I thought you had to wait. As a farmer.
No, thank you
very much. I think it's very useful because we are recording media for this. People have checked into it and it has been understanding and it's fun for us. And thank you for the media for allowing us to meet. Thank you for that. I thought they're not going to write the protest letter. So I said that during the course of the meeting, there will be other sensitive issues that they need to satisfy. Okay. Yeah, let us proceed. The Director General, I think, is very useful. I think they appreciate it. And it seems we are on track. And the Auditor General's report is going to be very, very favorable to us. To be keen report, not just unqualified, but a very keen report. And then all red, yellow will remain there, yes, but red will disappear on that. And it seems really on track now.
But the red bear will disappear.
The red bear will disappear. And I know that we are worried about this red. It's your business, really. We should move on and deal with other issues. And I think the letter general we have covered, main item on our agenda, really. General, we have covered the quarterly meeting and the papers and the quarterly information. And we've dealt with the issue of the National Premier League. And I think it would be important for us just to deal with the network so that we can then have discussion on some of the issues. Martin, let us move. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some other things I wanted to maybe say, buy it from the Director General on the top 10% significant risk action plan. The last half a day, which says, and comes from GR 14 and 2012-2013 under performance of the national teams internationally. Maybe that one, Chairperson, why maybe I bring it when he was citing some of the agreements they made with Nepal. So on saying if the clubs are privately owned, then you do not have some kind of an authority to say what. And on this one, then comes in the soccer teams. My mind actually jumps to the soccer teams to say, as they see that there is a challenge if you privatize some federation or some club, then you have a problem of not having a say. From this one, as it puts it, as one of the risk action, what program does he have on the turning around on this one? Because the chairperson, as he was actually talking, then it dawned to me to say, if we do not actually do anything on the soccer teams themselves, we're not going to see any performance, because you said about performance and achievement. So we are going to always be lagging behind. There's a situation where I said to myself, why do we say you have to pick on the Bafana from all the teams? Why don't we have just one team, name it Bafana, place it to the whole country, and then we agree on it? So I don't know what is in the mind of the department on this area, because really, you can have money, you can have you were talking about money that you give, maybe clubs and what have you, but not clubs, federations, but what do you envisage to unlock this one? Because really, if you are having to have privatized the teams and what have you, you're not going to get there. You are talking of mass participation, you are talking of school sports. When they actually go out of school, they go and join the other, academies, not academies, federation. What authority will the department have over it?
Thanks, Honorable Sindane. As a start, the framework of our law doesn't give us full authority over federations and the national teams. The government, we don't appoint coaches, neither do we appoint the federations to administer the sport on our behalf. The relationship we have is always underpinned, and I guess many governments around the world are toiling with this challenge of a fair balance between what is interpreted as interference vis-a-vis what is seen for the serious intervention. Most federations, when it is convenient and they need our support and they need our money, they call it intervention, that we have defensively intervened in their favor. Whether either by paying the debt or by supporting them to get money or by providing them with more money or by supporting their special tournaments and so on and so forth, they see that as intervention. They don't see it as interference by government. But when they don't want us involved, particularly when things are not going right, and we also have the opinion that things are not going right, they are getting terrible audits, they are not winning matches, they are not doing this. If we want to have our say, they normally say that we are interfering. And the problem is in the posture of the international federations to which they are affiliated, who also see that as a problem and as a threat. And even where there is collusion between some leaders of countries in Africa, here, our federations are most influential in the affairs of their international federations globally. And so therefore, they've got friends, they've got alliances, they've got networks globally. And when you tend to want to take corrective measures or corrective interventions in a specific matter, you have difficulties all the time of the international federations returning that either they will value or whatever. I'm sure you now see it with athletic now, what they're trying to do. You have seen with football, when one wanted to investigate the metrics in the particular, what FIFA's posture has been. So all of these things you tend to see them.
But there are some good ones, like the International Triathlon Federation, which is very progressive, you know, which says no governments can. Even the IDC, after the very damaging international report they got, and they were very cooperative when we had to investigate the affairs of cricket. And the foreign carrying got of cricket is proved more better that what has happened. And the IDC said, no, government has a right to intervene decisively where things are not going wrong or are going wrong or they're not going right, and where there has been loss of that specific country has been broken. Government in that country may intervene. So it's not all of them that are that progressive. And coming straight to your issue of tournaments of teams, we can only hold the federation's contract for performance and fund them progressively to make sure that they achieve those performances. However, there is a double edged sword here. When Wafana are doing badly, people blame government. It's very rare that the articles in written attack staff. It's rare. And this is there in terms of the underperformance of national teams. And I think we have to look at it progressively. South Africa is not football, it's not about Wafana. We have many national teams, and many of them are doing extremely well. Right through last year, we have been having ceremonies to honor champions who are coming back home and who have won, and we have been rewarding their excellence and every other thing in every way. And it's amazing what we have been able to achieve, even in smaller sports like sailing and so on. Because this is not written about, and because it is not on TV, the public do not see that actually at the country, we are doing extremely well sport-wise and from a performance point of view. But always, if rugby, the Springboks, or the Proteas, or Bafana Bafana underperform, the perception of the public is that all gates of hell have been opened and it's not bad, you know, and things are bad in this country and so on. Because the other part and the success we achieve there, we are not adjudged on them. The SPA Proteas as an example. They have been beating everybody who have been coming before their way consistently. But that's not said so much, is it? Just yesterday, the women's hockey team beat Netherlands of all people. A quite significant big score. But it's not a big story. Nobody talks about that. And so when we say that we view the underperformance of our national team as a risk, we say so because we are about two things, an active nation and a winning nation. And so the winning part also must come, results must come. And because of the sensitivity of football, rugby and cricket, we are seeing we have to pay special attention to them. And perhaps some may agree with the minister, or some may not agree with the minister on the question of Bafana. But bottom line is that we government can't hold our house when things are not going right. Because what the school is not being told in public, and because we are not properly, we're not going to go there and go on a showdown with SASA and say they didn't or this or that and start finger 20 match. But I can bring the committee that as early as June last year, I called Dennis Mambo, the CEO of SASA, and I said, Dennis, we want you to win Chen. You go write up a proposal and tell us what it will take for you guys to win Chen. You have just come out of the AFCON, we were disgraced as a nation. We would not want you to come out this game, particularly because it is argued we have the best league on the continent. We should necessarily really produce good quality players and to win this Chen. Yeah, no, the proposal will come. We never got a proposal, I'm going to tell you, friendly and openly. We never got it. July, end July, another follow-up meeting. Dennis, please, now we are going to the Nelson Mandela Sports and Culture Day. We are asking you to collapse your annual Nelson Mandela Day tournament and collapse it underneath our umbrella of the National Mandela Sports and Culture Day. We will guarantee the 1 million contribution you have to make to the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, and we'll pay you part of your payment to have the thing going on. Yeah, did you know, we'll come back to you. He came back and he said the board of SAFA and the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund have refused. They want a separate match. And I said to them, we only have money for one match.
and which is going to be played on the 18th of August. So the choice is yours. You take this or you pay for your own match and we do our own match. They came back, we have a meeting here in middle of August in Cape Town, and they pleaded with the minister to say, please help us. And the minister made a political decision to say, please pay for your match in Durban against Nigeria. And they said, this was the new argument of the meeting in Cape Town, that the coach, which is Sophia, having been boxed 3 points for fielding a player that was not supposed to be playing with. The coaches of the belief that we may spend a chance of qualifying for the World Cup. And in that meeting, I remember saying, leave this thing of qualifying. The nation has been accepted, we have not qualified. Let's just get out of that thing and focus on chance. But no, they insisted, the coach will say we have not supported him, and this, that, and so on. He wants to play a strong opponent, and he wants to play Nigeria, and a full-strength Nigerian side in Durban. And we were of the opinion that they must play a country that had already qualified for the CHAN, and where they will prepare for CHAN, you know, and they must play only with local players, and so on. Now, they feel that the bulk of the squad, those who remember which played against Nigeria and beaten there in Durban, played with a majority of foreign-based players. It was not a preparation match. It was his own, whether Botswana will then go on to beat Ethiopia, which, I mean, as we know, and then we could qualify. So, but they insisted, and we paid for that match in Durban. We then paid for a match against them in Burkina Faso for the Nelson Mandela thing. And we paid for it, and I had to put my foot down to say only local-based player must be selected, and you must tell Burkina Faso to only select each local-based player. And that's where we're going to judge the strength of the fight. Last November, we asked them for a plan. We said we want to see whether they had in camp and so on. We're saying so because we had just come back from Zimbabwe for a meeting of the Supreme Council of Sport in Africa. I was on that meeting. And there, the whole region was there. And we were taken to the Bulawayo Stadium. We were shocked that when we arrived there, the whole Zimbabwe national team was in camp already by end November. They were preparing for that. And when we came back home, we asked Sasa to give us a plan of what is going to happen. We asked for a plan of the camps and everything. That never came. In fact, by December, I was fighting fires of players that have come here and that teams must release players and Gordon can't get this and so on. And that only happened in January. We actually camped a week before the tournament when we are the host nation. They were actually given holidays. They went home. They were relaxing when they could have camped. The whole Zimbabwe team only went on holiday for 3 days during Christmas. By New Year, they were still in camp. At the beginning of the year, they were in camp. Zimbabwe, with lesser resources, a mediocre league there and so on. Look at where they are, they're in the semifinal. And chances are that they're going to win that semifinal to the final. So, and we, with superior resources, with superior and organizing, we couldn't achieve the same feat. So, when the minister says we demand a report from SAFA, it is because we know what we are saying to SAFA behind closed doors. And it is, we know what we have been saying to them. Remember? Mickey Mousing or trying to split headlines or whatever. As has been reported. It is out of the sheer frustration of knowing what we could have achieved. Have things been done properly and have we been where we were supposed to be? So, long and short, the issue of performance rating, we have to balance the thing. I think first and foremost, we must look at all South Africa's national teams and their performance and assess on the basis of that. And we must not only assess because of one rotten idol. Yes, it makes the whole bag rotten, but the administration of SAFA, I've come here before and I told you that there are 92 million in the race. I told you about the challenges they're having. I told you that we want to investigate not just match fixing. We want to look at the entirety of the administration of SAFA in the country of football. And they are resisting that. And even if I say, yeah, you do that, it's suspending, you know. And I've come here and I told you before that we are unhappy about even how the Liberty Trust Fund is being administered. I mean, I'm a trustee there. On the eve of the meeting, the night before, at 8 o'clock, I'm waiting in my study at home, the email comes in. It's a proposal from SAFA for the trust to give them 10 million for administration. On the eve of the meeting, when the trust group says the agenda items must come 40 days before. And at the meeting, I object. And they had caucus with FIFA there.
and all the FIFA refs at Jerome Falk and the rest take a decision to say, no, we're going to consider the cases against good corporate governance. They say, no, we're going ahead, and they go ahead and pass a decision. I say, record it, please. That government has objected to this because instead we want to investigate this type of comment. You know, but this is a reality of what we are doing with football. So I'm saying, let football not be that. It must not be the basis on which we judge in the country. Unfortunately, the popular sport is the bigger sport in our country. And so when things go wrong there, the perception is going to be that all is well. But many of our national teams are really doing well. I think we should say that, and we should note that the problem is administration. And also, Chair, the big challenge with football, if you ask me, is the nature or the environment of football or the landscape of football itself. This idea of a PSL that is independent from the Sahara and the home. People died. I'm sure you know about this. People stabbed each other in the 80s. Or even when they moved from NPSL to form NSL at 11, there were such things. And even when the NSL has changed to PSL, people were still dying. The only difference was the method of killing. Then they were being stabbed, and at the time they were being shot. But bottom line is that people died for this thing, like this FIFA ranking. And it is now FIFA. About 93% of all spent on football in our country is spent by the PSL. And SAFA accounts only for 7%, and it has responsibilities of national teams. It has to do all of these things and has to deliver. And the cooperative governance principles don't apply there by the PSL. The clubs keep their chairpersons, and they form something called the Board of Governors. And that Board of Governors is the owner of the league. And it regulates itself. And when they declare profits, they share the profits. And once in a while, out of the goodness of their heart, they give SAFA an act gratia payment of 4 million and say, take the crumbs from the table of the month. And these teams, many of them, if you were to probe them, how many of them have development structures and needs? Very few. They want finished products. But the key issue is who must pay for this finished product? Who must pay for you to sign up a player that is ready to do duty for you to win your trophy? So, successively, I think we as the ANC government and must accept that we haven't done enough to challenge that issue and to change that format because we do not have the challenge that the netball is having. Hockey, where everything is owned under one federation, it's easier. So I guess perhaps it's about time that someone is brave enough that for fear of being shot or whatever, but the right thing has to be done and has to be said. And I think that really key. Must happen. That ultimately, in the long run, PSL must become part of SAFA. And equally, PSL is so powerful that this chairperson, by virtue of being the PSL chair, becomes the vice president of SAFA. But SAFA do not have the right to sit on the PSL. So I think this discrepancy is in the landscape itself, not just administration. And the landscape, how they are structured, has got to be challenged and has got to be changed in the ultimate run. This in the culture of sport is an unspeakable truth. Nobody speaks about this thing. So I guess I'm ready enough to raise it.
We've got to
look okay. Cora, Sapa is coming next week.
Yeah. Oh. They never go to the team.
And then for I think that Mr. Levens is drifting the media now about Mayweather. That's Mr. Lee. Typical of Mr. Lee.
I hope Rabu doesn't learn those.
That's why Mr. Lee must retire now.
Stop positing about
yeah, it's on the right course. No, but I do think that as a general, and of course, there's a lot of thought, Dr. We should, at a certain point in time, call a deal with the question that the director general is raising. And then I think we must deal with it in a particular portfolio committee, also must deal with this thing. Because they do come
yeah.
For the committee. they will tell us all the stories, you know. But I think we should really deal with the main issues there. And then I think we should do that, otherwise it would be very unfortunate, because when Bafana is down, the entire nation's mood is down. Even the Indians, you know, they tend to be very quiet. But I do think that we must raise some of these issues as they come in.
Yeah.
I think it's an unfair arrangement. Maybe it's one country that is a tablet, South Africa anyway, I'm not sure. And it seems we are the unique one in terms of the power relations between South and the PSL. And I think they're very skewed today in favor of PSL rather than South. But also Papa doesn't mean it affairs very well themselves. I think that they say it's a hazard shop mentality, that is a bigger problem. It's a bigger problem. And then not many animals come before the committee and raise some decision.
No.
It's not that. I think Dr. Figueroa, a lot of work that we have to do.
Yeah.
Because it's very clear in general that unless ourselves, particularly activists, agents for change, all of us, we start taking all these matters seriously. They're not going to resolve themselves. Because beneficiaries of this confusion will continue enjoying peace unless ourselves we start really pushing them to deal with this issue. But otherwise, I think it's not correct for us to allow popular sports generally to be mad. And I know very well, even ourselves, we've allowed one doctor here to mess up athletic morality. And advocate every day, finding the same thing. I think we're allowing this thing to happen in such a way that they are becoming untouchable, you know. We are unable to confront some of these issues and deal with them. I think we should do that as part of just when they come before the committee in 7 days' time. And then let us deal with them, and then we'll move on and deal with other issues. And then for South Africa, I know that we are doing well. Of course, Director General has touched on the Netball Premier League, and any other issue that you want to add on that one, we will allow you to do so. So maybe what you want us to do?
Thank you, everything, and I'd like to say hi to everyone. I think we would just, in case if you would like to leave, let us start probably making a few comments on the NPL so that if he is in a hurry, I know he's very busy, then he could be released. Not that I'm saying I don't want him to sit, or the other to sit for the whole meeting, but I'm just saying probably we should just start with the NPL and then ask Blanche to just make a few comments on what has been reported. Thank you.
Mr.
Jim
and Honorable
Member.
Missing the button. Maybe we should just briefly go back to the need of the NPR. Right at the beginning, we realized that to perform and to achieve and play against the top three countries where we belong, we need to have to spend more quality court time. So the president and executive members then decided to approach Minister and DG with a plan. So at that stage, 2 years ago, it was discussing a professional league. And then we went to Australia to find out how their league would, and we came back, and with the help of DG and the department, we invited BMI to do a study. Because what are we going to sell and what would the value be? So at the end, we all agreed that this won't be a professional league, but a Premier League, which means, Netball Premier League, which means it will afford our players to take off from work, because there will be some remuneration for them to take off work, top players, and it will also allow us to have more competition for players, which means they will spend more time, quality time on court, which means we will be a top country in the world. So that is where it ended. We formalized a correct model with the help of the department at BMI, and that's why we couldn't sell individual franchises. So for the first 3 years, I would like corporate, government, and members of this committee see the Netball Premier League as a huge investment in women empowerment. We have proved in our studies and the presentation and the model that we, Netball South Africa, will be in the position to empower 250 women with employment. And with the help of the DG per se, we have negotiated a very interested investor, which means that this whole competition will be shorter, but not an insignificant competition. It will be a Premier League over 5 weeks, which will draw a lot of attention with the assistance and the support of Swiss Sport and SFC in a small way. So it's not that it's going to change the structure of the competition, it's just the time, because the funding won't be enough. But we're still in a position here where we would say, in the interest of Netball, as the custodians, as the leaders, we really need some more financial support to kick off. And we hope that we go back today with more answers in supporting this wonderful project. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I think this is just confirming what DG has presented, and I think it's also fair to the committee to really thank you for giving us time to come and present here. There's been times when we left the room not knowing whether there is something that's going to happen. So now, after today, we are really hopeful, and having been in the same meeting with DG yesterday, we really see the light now. But as Blanche says, we still have a long way to go. So we will be hoping that DG will be with us all the way, and we will be starting something definitely in April. But the job has not been complete. We're still going on. We're still looking for more funders. I think what we've been requested to report on here is just going to be very big from my side, because you've got most of our documents. We have now gotten into the habit of giving you information, even when you request it or not. We just send to your offices information. For me, where I would just like to start is just reminding you who we are and how we do things as Network Africa. We are a federation that meets twice a year, and I'm happy that Dr. Sona's daughter is here with his committee, because we are meeting them for the first time and they've seen our documents, and probably they're going to understand more of the things that is sent to them by sheers, by listening to us. We are a committee that operates as volunteers for now, but in our BGM in October, we had to talk to our council members to say we need to change. We need to see ourselves now as women who are slowly moving towards running a business professionally, for a simple reason. We are branding Netball. We did say that we want to brand Netball and market ourselves in such a way that we can be self-sustainable as far as financial requirements are concerned. So for us to do that, we need to really make sure that our governance is in shape and we run things smoothly, improve on what we've done so far. We meet twice a year, every year. There are two council meetings, one is in March, the other one in October. On the 4th, starting from from the last BGM, we now have a term of office of 4 years instead of 2 years. Previously, it was a 2-year term of office for the executive, now it's a 4-year term of office. I can safely report to the committee here that all of us were re-elected into the committee, which was a huge vote of confidence on our side as the committee.
we have a lot of work to do, and we are not saying we're going to be complacent by merely being put back into the comics, but it means harder, even harder than what we've done so far. In this VGM or council meeting, all the directors will give reports on each portfolio. We've got a portfolio that takes care of poaching, another one umpiring, another one selection, and then the most important one is the one that runs demarcation and structures issues. And then, of course, the vice president is also the CEO now, because we're starting to put things together in a different way. He's also in charge of financial NSA finances. She looks after the record. Our office, we still have three staff members, but after the BGM, after the meeting that we had in October with council, we have requested that we look at improving the office. As people start getting to know us and appreciating what we do at Netball, and as more people become interested in us, especially the private sector, we've attracted a lot of partners. We need to make sure that our offices run professionally. That is one area where we are still lagging behind. But as from this year, I am going to work in full-time day in the office to make sure that on a daily basis I'm up to date with what is happening. I've been staying in Bangin, which is about 600 kilometers, but the office was in Pretoria. So from now onwards, I'll wake up in the morning in Pretoria and make sure that everything runs for Netball with the vice president. And there are three members that stay in housing. They will also have a certain hour, 6 hours that we work in office. So by that, we think that we are going to improve in a lot of issues administratively. We reported that we operate in 47 regions instead of 52. Remember, we are demarcating Terracoin to the municipal district. So I brought along this PR here to tell the committee what is happening with the five regions that have not come on board. So that there will be answers, and we are addressing that. We also agreed in our BGM in October that we are going to be reviewing our policies to try and align them to the targets that we must achieve as stated in the NSARP, National Sports and Recreation Plan. We would like to see ourselves as one of the five codes or federations that are being focused on by the EPG committee. We would like to see ourselves meeting as many targets as possible. So we've seen that we've been operating with, our quota system says probably we need to have ratios of 5-2. Previously the 5-2 or currently the 5-2 was focusing on 2 blacks and 5 whites. So it's going to be the other way around now. On court we're saying we'd like to see 2 pairs of color playing at all times. We would like to see more pairs of color now on court, because we believe that within playing Netball, there are more people who are ready to take court and actually represent our national teams. I think it is evident in all our national teams that we really give a platform to everybody in South Africa to have that opportunity to represent the team, the national team, not based on color, but on performance. All our players of color that we put in our teams have performed, and we don't have a problem there. Probably this is why we are performing so well. We have given you a copy. I think all of you have a copy that is written NSA Director's Report. This is the report, or these are the reports that we actually presented to our council members in October at the BGM. Most of the questions that we are supposed to report on here in this meeting are captured here. You will see when we look at the coach's report, it talks about our involvement with SASCOP. SASCOP is currently running an SA coaching framework project. Therefore, South Africa is part of that, and we are very pleased to report that the coaches that we have sent, they are doing very well. We are looking at a system in coaching where we are going to be accrediting coaches that are going to be running the coaching workshops and clinics across the country. Fortunate for us, we work very closely with schools. We had our first meeting in January. When was the meeting? 4th or 5th of January this year, we had a meeting with the school network structure where we were sharing our programs. We were asking them what it is that they have put in their development program so that we can play an oversight role in making sure that the development takes place. There are a few areas of concern which we identified. identified Lapia in schools as well as universities. And it is our priority as NMO South Africa this year to look into, like, to mention just a few. We had a lot of noise around the people complaining about the selection in schools, where people still find that some parents are used as selectors. So we want to look at what happens, because schools and universities are supposed to be following our policies as our affiliate members. So we haven't been monitoring it closely, but starting from this year, we are going to do that. I think all of you probably would be aware that last year there was a varsity cup that was introduced for universities. There again, we saw a few things that need our attention. We would like to see a situation where all players across the board, racially, are given equal opportunity to participate in such a elite competition. Now, we don't want to jump the gun and think that some people are not being given the opportunity, but we would like to make it our responsibility to investigate why in most of the teams probably would have seen that there were more white players, where we know for a fact that they have an equal number or even more number of players in the university. So those are the things that we've noticed. We are talking to our colleagues there. We are going to be addressing them, because we have that mandate. If we feel that people are not being given the opportunity that they deserve, we can request the competition to be stopped until they correct those steps. So you will see that we have given you a breakdown in this document of coaches that are in our development system. There are tables there, this part in us, some of the tables are very small, so, but all of you have wear glasses. I said to lunch. I said to lunch, all of them wear glasses, so we don't have to. But it shows, it gives us a breakdown to province, where you will see that taking the Eastern Cape as an example, it will give you Alfred Nzo, those are our regions. It will give you Alfred Nzo, Amashore, Ebuffalo City, Badu, Kribani, Jobari, Nelson Mandela Bay, etc. Then it's a table that shows you the number of coaches that are in the region, still in the system of being developed status for accreditation. We go up to level 3 so far. So it will show you who did what and who passed, who failed. Those who failed are not thrown out, but we are still going back and making sure that those who aspire to becoming coaches end up getting the right or the required accreditation. So for all policies, we've done that. And when you go on, you will see that the next report is just a brief report on what our demarcation structure portfolio does. It also gives focuses mainly on your structures. ECG is looking at both players and administrators when it comes to transformation and giving opportunity to people. So you will see that we have actually shown you how many players are in our structures. These are the things that are there in the provinces. So it's not like something that we can pass. These are the giving you details so that if you need to check, we can easily just follow up by going to the province and checking upon province, provincial president. I think the portfolio committee does have the record of who are in our committee. We send you that information all of it, long and above. Great. Yeah, we did send it to you. You've got even the names of clubs in each and every province. You do have that information in your record. After the report by the director, then you will come to our selection report. I think it's important for you to really go through the selection report, because what we're trying to do here, we are trying to look at the country that we normally play against. We're trying to analyze the type of players they have. We're trying to look at our players that we have as a country and see where probably we are short, so that if we need to put more effort in, we can't change the length of a person. If a person is short, she is short. But we need to know what it is that we can do with type of players to make sure that we close the gap of the opponents that they are likely to play against. So our selection report is very detailed, and I would really like you to spend time looking at it. We've given you also information on school athletes, because we also work with schools. So when they got their attendances, they will invite us, we go there for the whole duration of the championship. We look at players, we collect information on individual players. So I think this is very important for us. It also teaches us, like, if we want to play against England,
we look at what England has to offer, we look at what we have, and then we try in our strategies to make sure that when we are preparing the team, we prepare them accordingly. Then after the report from the from selection, you will have umpiring. This is the area that we have given ourselves a chance to focus on. We are not happy, like up to now, we've got three international umpires and all of them are white. But there are reasons behind why that is so. We are trying to address that situation. We are looking at about five to seven umpires that are currently ranked as umpires and umpire in Africa. So we want to focus on that and push them to get the international accreditation. There are a lot of requirements for umpires to get that platform, and unfortunately, we don't have that much control over it. It depends. They send their own staff, they look at the people, and then they get a report to say this is the person that we think qualifies to be an internal umpire. But we met with, when we went to Scotland in August, we met with the person who is running the umpiring in the International Federation, and we spoke to her. So she has shared with us a few tips on what to do to make sure that we fabricate our own umpires of color also get the opportunity. So we're hoping that we will have a breakthrough there. And lastly, you've got our financial audited financial statement, which we always give to our members every year, as I said, when we finish the year. I think our report is just that.
Thank you very much. I think that's
I just want to thank Netball and the department, the DG in particular, for finding Ada so that they can progress. So we are starting 2014 on a very good footing. We don't want to do this, but it's easy to
buy. Okay, no, I think that's generally speaking, the Netball has been always coming in front of us. We of course, our mothers and our fathers. They'll behave differently. And I think that COVID has been what they are doing. They are very committed in what they are doing. I think Lagin itself or Severin, you can't compare the two. You can't compare the two, and we have to deal with them separately. But that, then, the man seems I wanted to pose a question.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. We must start by echoing the same statement said by the whip of our committee about our discussion. We would also like to appreciate the allocation that comes from the department. I was looking at what the department allocates to Netball South Africa. It is really appreciated. As we do that, I would actually like to sort of pose or probe, because it's not going to be effected now, on the incentive that the Netball players get compared to SARU, SAFA, or CFA, and look at the ranking of Netball at present. What is it? Because now I cannot go back to Netball South Africa, but I'm actually probing this question to the DG to say, because Netball is making us proud as a country, what is it that the department look forward to doing as an incentive to the player? Based on, I know they have limited resources. I know sometimes they will go to maybe donors and that's some kind of, you know, fundraising or what have you. What then does the department have? Because to me, really, when you look at it, and they were saying they are now sitting at five, top five. It is a very, very significant number. So what is it that the department can actually share with us? So that I know when you were talking about, you know, the national teams and many of you, netball was among those which cannot be, so the players cannot be heard. So what do we do? Because really this is our fight.
Thanks very much. I think I'm covered by the question of my scenario, because I wanted to check on the incentives for Netball South Africa. These are the African champs, and they are making our country very proud to feel the DGs here, and he can respond. And also, congratulating the Netball South Africa, because hence you are one of the best coding code in South Africa. You have also nominated the Service Administration the Sports Awards last year. So we are congratulating you. Thank you very much.
Okay, there is your
But just to confirm, I think if you look at the document on section 22 and 23, it will give you a good picture of when the bodies, you can see how strong they are. And if you compare the track record of performance vis-a-vis Bafana, even at junior levels, I think the point here we're making is that even the under-19 team for this period under reporting was undefeated in all the matches played. Mm-hmm. And that can only bode well for the future of netball, because there is a pipeline and stream of new players coming through who are playing quite well, as opposed to even in football, if you compare, the lower teams are not doing well as well. So yet netball, I think we are quite happy. So the key issue of the incentives is that I'm going to address it in two ways. First and foremost, it's on a sustainability plan that we have netball must work on, and to ensure that they ultimately have sufficient results in their head. Our preoccupation now is on helping them get this league off. And in 5 years after, build it to a level where it generates money for Netball South Africa, we finance the other players in the basket, which are there, like the senior champs and all of this, and the club championships. All of those have money nobody wants to finance. The Premier League must make sufficient money to be able to subsidize the other smaller tournaments. So that's the long-term plan. In the immediate, Netball will tell you that since last year, we have doubled their allocation, their normal allocation to them. And we also, even when the national teams perform and they win, when they won last year, we paid each and every player 15,000 rands as a reward and an incentive for the excellence and for making the country proud, for winning the African Nations Championships, the equivalent of AFCON. So we paid each and every player. Netball South Africa too, I mean, because you know our structured incentives program is the sort of us. And that is why the prizes there are significant in terms of money. So Netball got the Ministerial Excellence Award, and the president of Netball also got the administrator of the year. We pay her. If she wants to share it with Netball, that's her story.
We have an open book to one another.
And so as long as the players win, we will incentivize the players, and we also incentivize the coach, by the way, and not just that.
Yeah.
And there is times where we recognize the federation as a federation, and play the federation, like in the case of the Minister Excellence Award, and where we recognize the contribution of the players and the team, and we pay the team and the coach incentives. Incentives are not sustainable in the short term measure. The best sustainable measure is what I said first, that build a Premier League to such an extent that the money is spent, and once there's money in the kitty, it gives you freedom to do many things you want to do. And that's why we have pegged our success on the Premier League on a long-term basis. But yes, in the hearing, we are paying in the years.
Thank you.
No, no, it's very promising, but it's but we're getting ahead now with the network. I know that people from our church generally, they don't play
network.
They play Mlabala. No, that is not the only thing to say. Thank you very much. I think it's very useful. As Cora was saying, that it's very good that we have now, we are working together with the department. And we are assisting us a lot to do some of this work. There are many women in our country. Just hopefully, though, that you'll be able to take effort to some villages. And even village people somewhere, it was in their place. Because it's very easy for people who are urban-based to be urban buyers. I know many people in Alexandra who were born in Alexandra when they are. They know just Alexandra. For them, only Alexandra is Alexandra. It's a local consciousness. It cannot be one, but I will say Alexandra was. It's possible also to have leaders also who think that we have this village mentality, so village young people as well. I can tell you. Despite the fact that the country is too big, local consciousness is in happiness. We are talking about that. I don't know. Not even one of the bread, talk about that. To eat South Africa bread. And then hopefully that the network will assist us already in some schools in rural areas. Encourage them to play netball and other sporting codes. I think netball is doing well. I think it's very organized. Hopefully, they will have time until to share experiences with us and DSM and take them through how you are doing things right. So it's important that they do that. Share experiences with those colleagues. I think they may learn a lot of things from you, how you organize things and how to part-time players. They are doing well anyway in the league. There is a general assembly league in Ezra. It's going to be 3 months intensive.
Yeah, it's
5 weeks. 5 weeks. Very intensive, I think. Okay. Well, I think all of us will be enjoying the games. TV has a great cover, isn't it? Super sports. Second license is the same piece. It seems it's going on. Where we started and where we are now, it seems there's a lot of progress. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. The other document just contains our vision and mission, marketing strategies, so you can just go through it. It's what we use to just to deal with, you know, and do whatever we do to try. And I think I need to also ask the portfolio committee to please come and watch our matches. To please come. You know, the last time I was here, I was told you never get our invitations. I made a point when we were in Port Elizabeth. I invited each and every one of the portfolio committee members, and not a single one. Don't leave. Do not leave us there. I got points. Instead, the person who is saying you are representing the two of them actually gave me a date on when he would be there, and he never came, so that is fine. But I'm really, for you to understand who we are and what we do, and the impact our team has, you just need to be there and see for yourself. We had a brilliant match against England, which we won. And really, that was it was something in history. And we really wanted to share it with one of the people that we normally come to report to. Thank you.
When we promised that we would attend from 2014 until 2019, we would attend. As long as we win. If we don't win, because otherwise we don't want to go to Washington. But we really know we're invited, but I think they were under commitment.
Yeah.
And therefore members, I think, for the time when this conference is in other big places. Therefore, we'll visit them. But we thank you very much for being invited us. I think we will really attend and see what is happening there. And Director General?
I wanted to further indicate on what the Honorable Zindani has raised, that the EPD's work must not be seen in isolation. In future, the work that they do and the report they give is a basis of funding federation. We have already, as I have reported to the committee, changed and amended the grant framework for funding the federation. And now it's beginning to bite. We started with the big five. And four of the big five submitted their data. Only one didn't submit, which is football. So their annual allocation, we haven't transferred it to them. And in terms of our arrangement, if they reach 31st January and they have not complied, they forfeit the annual allocation all in its entirety. So that will then have to redistribute to the federation's
who complies?
So that's what we do,
and
we are not yet punishing federations for not being transformed, not yet. But right now, we just want them to get into the use of compliance and compliance mode, and that when we say submit data to EPG, they should. If they don't, we do not transfer. I have written countless letters. I think the PG Secretary can confirm this, and Federation support can. We have written countless letters to SAPA asking them to submit the data and telling them that if they do not submit, they will not get because there's absolutely no reason why NetBall with fewer staff members and SAPA with bigger staff members size of office unable to comply with the same questionnaire. Because the questionnaire we sent to the five federations were the same. We do accept the federation pay to us on this issue asking us we have no data, we don't have capacity to collect your data. That we can excuse, but it can't be that you totally disregard and do not submit anything. So, in future, if, like now, we the fact we are just doing a baseline, we are just checking that, that they've reported and we know where they are. So going forward, we will link the target set by ETG to money. We'll say, okay, for you to arrive at this point, it will earn you so much, you know. If you get here, it will earn you so much. So it gives incentives to federations to try and try to get higher. That's the only way we can enforce transformation, because we can't mind ourselves as government. I mentioned that federations are not transforming, but yet we're giving them money. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. So the outcomes with funding, and that's what our new grant framework does. And they will see we have piloted the first agreement by giving them money anyway. We told them we have guaranteed tier, we have a conditional tier. But for now, have it. But no, it's coming. But there will come a time when the conditional tier, you have to cross those money.
Yeah.
If you don't cross them, no money. So it's the only way of ensuring enforcement. Check, can I deal with the drug fleeting quickly? I'm afraid I'm going to need a slide and it's only one.
That's only one.
Yeah.
I know. You're going to Blumhandel?
Yes. Chair, the presentation and the CEO of the Institute is here in drug free sport, Mr. Khalid Kalansha. But this institute is, in contrast to everything, is well managed. It's well run. In fact, I wish that the department had arrived at the point where they are now, because it would be a big win for me too. But it's well managed. Only thing that the Auditor General picked up in the management letter are those five key things mentioned there, and which have been attended to. First and foremost, was the issue of the inconsistency between planning targets and the indicators. Now the institute is working on revising the strategic plan as well as the annual plan to refine the indicators to
be able to link up with Atlanta again. And the other key thing was the issue of the key government indicators, which were not going to be measurable because they were not tampered. And you see, the problem with the institute is that they may plan on where they're going to do it and how many tests they're going to make. But if you are doing random testing, no one really knows when you're going to do it. So you don't put the Natasha frames there. If there is a tournament and here there is a tournament, you appear, surprise, you re-increase, you know. So that's what happens. What we are concerned about as a department isn't that the key indicators must indicate the time frames. What we are concerned about is that if we have said to them that there must be a minimum of 2,000 tests per year, indeed they must do that minimum. And they have each year been exceeding the minimum target set. So we ourselves are a bit at peace, but the auditor general wants to see that the targets are really placed and put. And to achieve that, we need just obviously have to finalize the calendar of events, and which is the job of SASCO. And that calendar is never final, because netball decides tomorrow that they're going to do events. And that thing is not on the calendar. They are hit by five. So once they pick up that there is such a thing, only then can they go and test there. So the issue of the calendar is a serious issue. I think it's going to be with us for some time. In future, we will make it one of the compliance issues with the Federation to put it on. But I think it's too late the days to force the Federation that are struggling with accountability to go that high tech. You know, so I think we will come to it later. The other issue was expenditure in excess of approved budget. I think, look, I have to be fair to the institute here. Largely the hot driver to exceed budget has been around the issue of legality. This is one entity that is taken proper too often. I'm sure you know the famous Mawondo case. In that case alone, the budget of legal services was wiped out, including even better instruments. That's when they got some lawyers who came and questioned our processes and procedures, and we're not really looking at the substantive issues. That drug can't put itself in that unit. Something must have happened, you know. So, and I think that indication must kind of be. And so the judicial or the review committee of the public body has to be strengthened, and the regulations have to be amended. Lessons from the memorable case. But yes, there will always be these issues of where the budget is grossly exceeded because of legal challenges that face the institute. The other issue that was raised, which was a concern, even a concern for us, was the fact that the internal audit function was not in place. And since then, Deloitte has been appointed as the internal audit function of this institute, and that now has been completely addressed. And there is a review going on around the issue of compliance with the Treasury regulations. And this is about the purchase of the tests, the testing kits, if you understand. And now, we will have to revise the policy, the supply chain management policy of the institute to allow them, because you only have like one or two manufacturers of this quality tests that we can access. Issues of three codes and one will not work. And we have to allow them and the policy to provide for deviation for them to acquire the same. And once you have addressed that, it will certainly go away with the issue of compliance with federal regulations. So this really is what has been raised. And we as a department are confident that the CEO and his team are doing well to address the concerns. And we are set now for this institute to get the clean audit completely, with no findings and no proofs whatsoever. We want zero. We want their management letter to be zero pages. And we can even achieve it with the institute.
Thank you very much. This is Director General has covered our report. And we know all of us about that Aninja felt very well. A lot of that we are fine with the stage. Quora, no question?
No. I see
you. Okay. Mackenzie, are you? Okay, for this I think and we should all end this department really to touch there. Thank you for coming.
10 products again in a table for Netball South Africa for coming and briefing us on some of the things. We are very excited with the crop that we are making. Mm-hmm. Hopeful, of course, when the bills are here next year, not next after election, we'll be able to deal with them and be sure that this one will be
useful. Yeah.
Ever.
What
I know that we will win the election. I'm not sure that I'm timing back or not, but I know that we will win the election.
Okay.
I may not be bad. But the
cook making promise.
No, no. I know that things will be here. And then a lot of the air is going to be here. Of course, we have a close
number.
What is it? Yeah, we do. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
God has assigned us some other countries to make the better land. Who's with this? Great to see your body on Sunday. Happy birthday in advance. There's no pressure because it's Shalwar.
How are you?
I'm okay, I'm okay. Well, great.
I'm not going to be able to do that.